The scripture reading this morning is in the book of Psalm 23:1-4. I guess everybody is quite familiarized with this. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshed my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkness valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This morning we are privileged to have Pastor Jonathan to come among us. He is the pastor, English pastor of the Vancouver Christian Logos Church. And he is original from Vancouver. He traveled to US to further his study, as well as he is serving together and looking after the English ministry in the Logos Church for almost the last 3 years. I just want to hand the following time to him, and he will share the word of God with us.
Only the moon lit the dark countryside. And over across the hills, there was a dark figure rising up. He was a shepherd. And behind him trailed a flock of sheep. The shepherd, he kneeled down and he surveyed the land. Then he beckoned to the sheep to follow him down to some calm waters, to a river, next to a green pasture for food, a midnight snack. And tired and stuffed, one by one, the sheep drifted off to sleep. But the shepherd is still wide awake, scanning the hills, always watching, always ready, and soon the inevitable happened. A wolf had spotted the shepherd and the sheep, and he was sneaking towards the sheep. The shepherd lifted himself up, and he moved quickly, methodically towards the wolf. As he nears the wolf, his pace quickens, and he pulls out his staff, and he rushes up to it, and he smacks it away. But where one wolf is, others are lurking nearby. They would be back. Quickly, the shepherd, he wakes up the sheep. And they're all disoriented. They're waking up. Bah, bah. They don't know what's going on. But they trust the shepherd. They don't know what's going on, but they trust him. And so they listen to his voice. And he guides them to safety away from the wolves. If any of them are freezing or sick or they're the runt of the litter, the shepherd carries them through the night, giving them his warmth and letting them know it's going to be okay. This is the kind of scene underlying Psalm 23. The heart of Psalm 23 is that God is our shepherd and that we are his sheep. And he guides us to safety through wolves and darkness and life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside calm waters. He restores my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Sheep have really bad eyesight. Like, notoriously bad eyesight. So if they trust their eyesight in a dark valley, they won't be able to see where they're going. They'll literally walk into a tree. But sheep do have excellent hearing. Though they cannot see, if the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice through the darkness, they can follow his voice to safety. And in the same way, even though we can't always see and we don't always know what's going on in life, facing the darkness and the wolves of this world, Jesus is our shepherd. He's here to guide us through. And if we're willing to listen to his voice, though we can't see where we're going, he'll guide us through to safety. Now, for many of us, this is a huge comfort. We love the Sunday school image of us as these adorable little lambs. And Jesus is there and he's holding us and he's guiding us through our everyday troubles. And it's right next to the Noah's Ark with all the animals. It's adorable. Do I even need this?
Can I just talk? Can you hear me back there?
Okay. Bad preacher. A lot of us love this image. We love Psalm 23. That's why it's everywhere. It's at funerals. It's in weddings. Almost every single movie where someone dies in a car crash at the funeral, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is said. It's in Hallmark cards. It's even in rap songs. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's everywhere. People love it, and it's comforting. It's even on bumper stickers. But for some of us, myself included, we really struggle with this whole we are sheep and Jesus is our shepherd thing. The first problem is how helpless and pathetic sheep are. Seeing yourself as the blessed little lamb of God is not exactly in keeping with traditional masculinity or the modern notion of the liberated, self-empowered female. Instead, sheep are weak and they're unable to defend themselves. A whole herd of sheep will literally run away if a particularly feisty rabbit gets too close. Sheep will sometimes trip and they'll fall on their backs like turtles. And they'll just lay there going, bah, bah, until someone turns them over. They will literally die going like this, bah, bah, until they starve to death. One expert writes that sheep are one of the dirtiest and dumbest animals around. Quote, they require more attention than any other farm animal, and they just can't take care of themselves. And that is exactly the problem I have with the imagery of us as sheep and God as our shepherd. I'd much rather have a more impressive and manly metaphor for myself. Like, I am a lion, and God is a lion tamer. Or God is my wizard and I'm a dragon. Something, you know. Something more powerful, more respectable. In short, the first struggle I have with Psalm 23 is pride. I am too prideful to see myself as a helpless, pathetic, smelly, blind little lamb. Can any of you sympathize with that struggle in your own life? How many of us struggle with pride with acting like we know better than everyone else, better than our friends or even God. We're reading the Bible going, no, I don't think that's true. I know the truth. Putting ourselves up as higher, smarter, stronger, better, more important and powerful than we really are. Do we see ourselves as sheep? Or do we still like to pretend that we're dragons or lions or something else seemingly big and important and respectable? Honestly, it's only in the last few years that I've begun to deal with my pride and embrace the sheep imagery. Now that I'm married and I actually have to take care of my wife, who's couldn't work in this country because she's American, and we had visa problems and I had no ability to control that. Now that eventually we might have kids and I'm responsible for taking care of those kids and making sure they don't go crazy and become serial killers. I mean, thinking about all of that and being a minister, someone gave me a church to take care of. What? I'm terrified. I feel overwhelmed and inadequate. I feel not strong like a lion or a dragon. I feel helpless like a lamb. One of the strongest antidotes for pride is life itself. In life, many of us have to face broken relationships, financial problems, guilt, anger, death, pride, loneliness, abandonment, divorce. I don't know about you, but I struggle to know what to do when facing those kinds of things. I can't see clearly through the darkness of life, because facing all that life challenges us with, you either become hard and bitter, or you break down and admit, I can't do this on my own. I need God. I need a shepherd, or I am not going to make it through. I'm not smart enough, experienced enough, wise enough, disciplined enough to make it through life on my own. I'm not even Chinese enough to be at my church. I feel powerless. I'm a sheep. You are sheep. We are sheep. Not lions, not dragons, sheep. So that's the first problem I've had with Psalm 23. Pride. I don't want to be a mere sheep. And the second problem I have is control. I mean, how many of us get frustrated over something as stupid as who gets to control the TV remote? So when God, our shepherd, comes into our lives and tries to direct it, tries to lead us and help us make decisions, we don't always respond the way we should because we're still trying to control our lives. We don't want to be sheep. We want to be the shepherd. We want to be the ones in control. We don't want to follow someone else and submit to their decisions for our lives. We want to be the shepherd calling the shots. I want to do what I want to do, when and where and how I want to do it. And it's so hard to get out of that mindset of needing control. I mean, how much of office or church issues has less to do with what's best for the group and more to do with individuals striving and reaching for control? How many of us can't handle a real relationship because we can't let someone else share control of our lives? How many of us have to have complete control over our careers, our finances, our direction in order to feel safe in the world? How many of us, when things don't go according to plan, have a nervous breakdown instead of trusting God to take control of things? But for all our attempts to bring security and control to our lives, is this really a battle we can win if we just try hard enough? Is not the very nature of death such that one day every single one of us, no matter who you are or what you've done, will have to give up control? Control of everything you've ever done, control of your body, control of life. And on that day, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, on that day, do we still want to be in control? Or are we willing to give the control over to God? Am I willing to give up being the shepherd and just live as a sheep? So we struggle with pride, with not wanting to be sheep. And we struggle with control. We want to be the shepherd. And the final thing I struggle with Psalm 23, some of you are like, final, yes, it's almost over. The final thing I struggle with has to do with trust. I remember I was meeting with a 50-year-old American mentor of mine in a Starbucks back when, and we got our coffees, our nice expensive coffees, and we sat down and we looked at each other and we were talking, and all of a sudden he told me this story. Everyone was chatting around us really loud, so he leaned in really close so I could hear him, and he said, "Jonathan, you haven't been alive long enough to remember when the President of the United States was respected. Like, everyone respected and trusted and looked up to the President. Even if you disagreed with him, even if you were on the opposite side, there was a time when everyone trusted the President." And I remember that. I was alive during that time. But I also remember the day that Richard Nixon resigned the presidency over a scandal. And I remember a few years later after that, when I was 12, and my mom called me into the living room and said that Dad left. And he's not coming back. And then I remember a few years after that, he continued, when the pastor at my church, a personal mentor of mine, got caught in adultery and had to leave the ministry. And then he looked me straight in the eyes and he said, "Jonathan, by the time I was 16, my president, my parents, and my preacher had all let me down. Is it any wonder I struggle to trust people? Is it any wonder our culture struggles to trust?" Many of us don't want to trust our lives into the hands of a shepherd like God, because when we've trusted our lives to someone before, that trust has been abused. When we let people into our lives, let them get close to us, gave them a part of ourselves that they could either nurture or neglect, they let us down. They weren't there when we needed them. And Jesus actually talks about these kind of people. He calls them hired hands. In John 10, Jesus says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. He doesn't own the sheep. He's just being paid to take care of them. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep himself. He doesn't actually care about the sheep. He's just there for the money. He's been hired, thus hired hand. So he abandons the sheep when the wolves come, for his own life is more important to him than the sheep, because the sheep aren't really his. So many of us have been hurt by so many hired hands, so it's hard for us to trust another shepherd. We don't want to hand control of our lives to God, because when we've given someone our trust before, they didn't keep it. They ran when the wolves came for us. They left us in our darkest hour. Like when a boyfriend or girlfriend lied or manipulated you. Many of us have been hurt by bad relationships, like when a spouse didn't take care of you, mocked you publicly, or even left you. Or when a friend stabbed you in the back or manipulated you into doing something you didn't want to. Or when a parent didn't spend time with you, didn't listen to you, or even abandoned you. I know 50-year-old respectable guys who still struggle with something their dad said 40 years earlier. You or someone you know may even have been sexually abused. We're not supposed to talk about that in church, apparently. But statistically, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men have been sexually abused at some point in their lives. And those abuses don't occur in back alleys with strangers. The majority of those abuses statistically occur at home with a relative or a close family friend. At home. In the very place we are supposed to feel the most safe, with the people who are supposed to teach us the most about trust. So when God, our shepherd, says the words, "Trust me," many of us know what that means in our heads, but we don't believe it in our hearts. Too many hired hands have broken our trust too many times. Too many hired hands have abandoned us when the wolves came, didn't shepherd us through the pains of life. When the going got tough, they got going. We've lost our ability to trust again. But there is a shepherd who does not leave us all alone in the dark. Who does not use us for his own financial gain or pleasure, who does not run from wolves, who stands by even if it costs him his own life. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ. He's not just another hired hand. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He does not say, "Trust me," to trick you out of your money. He does not say, "I love you," just to manipulate you into giving him what he wants. He does not say, "Follow me," only to leave you in your darkest hour. No, Jesus stands by us, even if that means death. And that's exactly what it did mean. He died to save us. He took our place on the cross and died for the sins that we should have to have died for. Jesus let the wolves ravage him so that we could escape. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. If you will listen to Jesus' voice, he will guide you through the deepest, darkest depths of hell and back again. He won't abandon you in the midst of broken relationships or frustration at work or at home. He won't stop loving you in the midst of your sins or anger or depression. And he won't even leave you because you struggle with pride, control, or trust like I do. Jesus is with us through thick and thin till death do us part, and then some. Jesus is the kind of shepherd that makes us able to trust again. So we struggle with pride, control, and trust. We don't want to be sheep. We want to be the shepherd, and we don't trust the shepherd. Let me close with a story. Their heads like, a story? I like stories. It's about my own family. And it starts back when I was in high school. My grandma on my mom's side was going downhill. She was 95 years old at the time, and she was in and out of the hospital. And my mom's brother, my uncle, had just been diagnosed with cancer. And on top of that, my dad just announced that he was leaving and moving out. So my mom was having a horrible time, as you can imagine. And I was in high school pretending none of it was happening and just struggling with all the emotions and repressed panic of that. And at the time, my grandma, even as her health was deteriorating, she was really the only Christian in the family. And it was then, in her last year of life, that she woke up in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, my grandma felt inspired to write, as if God had placed something on her heart that she couldn't contain. So she leaned over to her night table and put paper and pen together. And out of this 95-year-old woman at 3 o'clock in the morning came a fully formed poem. A poem that, little did she know, would soon be read at her own funeral. Let me read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, my friend, and my guide. When troubles surround me, he walks by my side. He tells me to fear not, walk tall in his ways, and with humble obedience I gladly obey. For the Lord is my shepherd. My grandma died soon after writing that. And in the UBC hospital, my mom held her own mother's hand as grandma took her last breath. And my mom said the most stunning part of the whole thing was how peaceful grandma looked in those final moments. My mom said that grandma was at peace because she knew where she was going, that Jesus, her shepherd, would soon bring her home. Grandma listened to her shepherd's voice, and he guided her through the valley of the shadow of death, safely to the other side. My grandma was not proud or in control. It's hard to be prideful or pretend you're in control when you're in your 90s, have been through 2 world wars, numerous economic depressions, countless family deaths, and now in old age, your own body barely does what you want it to do anymore. And so she trusted God, even in the midst of the darkest valley of the shadow of death. Our family was breaking at the seams around her, and her own life was coming to an end, but she trusted God fully, and that is why, even on her deathbed, she was at peace. To this day, my mother will tell you that the moment of Grandma's passing was the primary reason why she is a Christian today. Seeing Grandma trust God even through death changed my mother. My mom is now a Christian. And it was literally only a few weeks after Grandma's death that I became a Christian myself. And my life changed forever. Grandma listened to her shepherd's voice in the midst of our family's darkest valley, and even in the midst of her own demise, and her shepherd came through. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours?